Joined right now on the legislative hotline by Brad Hawkins, number 12, District 12 State Senator. And good morning, Senator Hawkins. How are you today?
Good morning, Jason. Great to be with you. I've been a little bit groggy the last couple of days, but I just think the past several weeks is kind of catching up to me. But we have a final push here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, let's get to that because there's a lot to talk about. Do you want to talk about the budget maybe first?
Yeah, so the budget process is kind of interesting. Basically, we have the House and the Senate, and the two chambers comprise the legislature as a body. And it is the legislature's role to pass the budgets to the governor for consideration. And so far, we have approved all three budgets in the Senate. And the House of Representatives has also approved its three budget proposals. And we have three budgets. We have the operating budget, transportation budget, and capital budget. And they're all slightly different. But there are also differences between the House and the Senate and what those two chambers are proposing. So between now and the end of session, the budget writers and legislators and leadership will all be discussing, along with the governor's office, what the differences are within the budget proposals and how to resolve those. Because ultimately, for any budget to be enacted into law, or any bill in the legislature for that matter, the exact same wording needs to be aligned with the House and the Senate and the governor. So ultimately, all three entities are approving the exact same document.
So I guess the question there is there some wrangling, like behind the scenes, negotiating between the members individually or groups of members of the House and the Senate before it gets back to both chambers? Do you want to wait until there's full agreement, or how does that work?
Oh, plenty of wrangling and arm twisting and intense negotiations, some of which are just natural differences. You know, the Senate wants to spend a little more money here. The House wants to invest more money there. I think ultimately the House proposes to spend more on its operating budget. There are differences also in capital and transportation projects. So ultimately, getting something included in your Senate budget, for example, which is the chamber I serve in, it's very important. But also you have to be looking one or two steps ahead to the end game to make sure that you not only get your items included in one budget proposal, but ultimately your projects can be funded in the final agreed upon budget. And those usually don't get finalized until just a few days before the end of session.
I ask this question. Now, it's a democratically controlled legislature, not super majorities, but controlled. As a Republican, what are you listened to at all? Do you feel like you're listened to or not?
I do. Fortunately, I have 10 years of experience in the state legislature. I've always worked very hard to build and maintain strong bipartisan relationships ever since I served. And I had a good conversation, for example, with a couple very prominent House Democrats just yesterday on some things important to our district, and they happened to be members that were part of my freshman class. There's only a handful of us left that were elected in 2012, and these two prominent House Democrats were elected in my freshman class with me. So I have, that's one of the benefits I bring to the district, I believe, is the strong relationships that have been built up over time. I don't know everybody, especially many of the newer House members, but I have to rely on those relationships and my credibility to kind of get things secured for our district and bills passed, because we are outnumbered. And I'm aware of that lens as I work on my projects, so I don't try to propose massive sweeping tax cuts or some of these other things. That I try to be very realistic given the circumstances and the political dynamics in Olympia of what I can accomplish for our district, and And
fortunately,
it's worked out.
You'd be one of those pragmatic Republicans or Democrats, I guess. They have a name for that, I think, in the problem solvers, I believe, in Congress is what they call that. So, anyway, let's talk about exciting news that you have for us. There's some finality, or at least we're on the right track, and you have much more confidence. We're talking about the budgets here, transportation budget, and the Confluence Parkway project, very big right here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. So this is a project that has been our top regional priority for transportation for our community for almost a decade. I've worked very closely with Mayor Frank Koontz and Congresswoman Kim Schreier, the Chelan-Douglas Transportation Council, Link Transit, and many other stakeholders. If you'll recall, Jason, we were successful in getting $85 million of a placeholder included in last year's Move Ahead Washington transportation package. And that package is a 16-year long-term transportation plan for our state. And we were able to get that funding included in what was basically a predetermined Democrat transportation package. So this is another example of how having good relationships is helpful. And obviously, we had a lot of bipartisan support and a lot of local stakeholder support. So we got that funding included, and we had it in there. But now we needed to get that funding apportioned and scheduled with what would work for the city of Wenatchee and what would help us maximize all these federal dollars. And so a lot of the legislators wanted their projects that were approved in the 16-year plan funded early, but we actually accomplished that. So the Senate approved its transportation budget, and the House had approved its transportation budget a few days prior. But Confluence Parkway is now scheduled in both of those budgets, and it aligns with what the governor and the Washington State Transportation Agency proposes to fund for Confluence Parkway. In the funding, again, it's $85 million, but it would be spread over 6 years, over three budgets, because we budget over 2 years. In the 2023 to 2025 budget, which is basically right around the corner, it begins July 1 of this year, we have $28 million identified for Confluence Parkway. In the next two-year budget, in 2025 to 27, there's $47 million identified for Confluence Parkway, and that's probably when the bulk of the construction work will take place. And then in the final two-year budget cycle, in 2027 to 2029, the remaining $10 million is slotted for Confluence Parkway. And so with that identified in our transportation budget, and like I said, getting all three budgets aligned, basically we have secured the funding for Confluence Parkway, and the funding will begin July 1st.
That's heavy lifting, and of course that goes along with $92 million coming from the Fed, $177 million project, big one probably. I think you were commenting that's the biggest ever for the region, maybe?
It is the biggest ever for the region. I mean, it's the most significant transportation project, possibly the most significant legislative project I've ever been a part of. And I would like to take the time, Jason, if I could, to thank Mayor Frank Koontz for his years of leadership on this project. He has just been steadfast in his efforts to get this accomplished. I mean, I remember working with him 6 years ago on it. But it has been a project that the Transportation Council and other stakeholders had been working on for almost a decade or more, and we haven't quit. And thankfully, Congresswoman Schreier and our federal representatives came through with a massive amount of federal funding. We leveraged those dollars to get the state funding, and not only that, we're getting the funding identified over the next 6 years. The first 6 years of this transportation package is when our area is getting the funding. And what that will allow is the city of Wenatchee to bid the project as one project. and they will have all the funding necessary to accomplish it, and it will help create efficiencies and streamline the construction. And so I couldn't be more proud of what our community has accomplished together in a bipartisan fashion at all levels of government, local, state, and federal, to get this done. It is a big deal.
Yeah. I've got about 3 minutes left. I just have one little caveat with that, a question. When do the shovels go in the ground here? Is that going to happen this year on that project?
Well, in terms of shovels going into the ground, I don't have that answer, but I do know that $28 million of funding is applied to that project beginning July 1 of 2023 and through 2025. Okay. So there will be significant work that takes place in that 2 years. But the bulk of the work and the bulk of the construction will likely occur between 2025 and 2027.
Okay, got it. Now, that reminds me, we're talking about the Confluence Parkway. There's a big thing here, but it'd be the 5001, talking about the regional sports complex. Where is that right now?
That bill has successfully passed all of its committees, five different legislative committees, three in the Senate and two in the House. It is currently in the House Rules Committee.
Okay.
It needs to be elevated to the floor and receive a House vote. So I'm working closely with the Speaker's office, the Speaker of the House, to make sure that this bill isn't one of those bills that almost makes it all the way but doesn't. There are bills that unfortunately have that fate, and I hope this isn't one of them. We have about a week to pass that bill before the next major deadline. So I'm working hard on that every day.
Okay, listen, we've just got kind of a couple of minutes, so why don't we talk about, you wanted to talk about that, and I think this is really germane because there are deadlines coming up for when stuff has to be passed at our committees, and et cetera. So go into that for us.
So we just passed a major deadline of April 4th, and that was a deadline for bills that have a fiscal impact to pass with their fiscal committees. And I serve on one. The Transportation Committee handles the transportation budget. So essentially now that that deadline has crossed, we are no longer active in committee work. All of the work is dedicated towards our floor activity and passing bills in our respective chambers. We have until Wednesday, April 12th to pass bills. From our opposite chambers, that's where Senate Bill 5001 comes in, for example, in the House. There's House bills over in the Senate. And then between April 12th and April 23rd, which is the last scheduled day of the session, we're working to finalize the budgets, brief the budgets, discuss amendments, and try to get all that work accomplished before the scheduled 105-day session ends on April 23rd.
Which is a Sunday, by the way.
Yeah, we know no weekends here. We are actually going to be voting all day Saturday.
Yeah.
They are going to give us Easter Sunday off, thankfully, but yes, it's going to be a busy push to the very end here.
Having been one of the reporters in other states that have covered legislatures, this is the part where you're working 7 days a week as a reporter doing this. You'll be right there at the legislature, so long hours, all that. Now, there's this one bill that Governor Inslee had that is in the legislature right now after the big bulk buy of the abortion pills, and now there needs to be legislation for the Department of Corrections to be able to distribute those pills to healthcare providers. But that's, I believe, in the committees like the Ways and Means Committee and the Appropriations right now?
Yeah, there's different bills related to that. And obviously, the abortion issue has been very big this year. And I realize the governor just recently made an announcement, I believe, on Tuesday related to trying to secure a 3-year supply of some of these pills before a Texas ruling. So there's different things happening in the judiciary branch too in regards to the federal U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah. And
it is interesting. It is interesting to see how it plays out. The governor characterizes it as reproductive care, and it's interesting both in the debate as well as the semantics of the issues around abortion.
I'm wondering how a bill gets introduced at this late stage and then goes through the process in both chambers real fast.
Yeah. I don't know if the bill was introduced prior and then it can be amended, but also if bills affect state revenue or are deemed to be necessary to implement the budget, they are not subject to the cutoff date set I was just discussing. So some of those bills don't actually know any cutoff dates or special
rules. Right. This sounds like one of those. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. We're out of time right now. Always fascinating. We'll have you at least for a couple of times more before you're all done, at least one more time, I know. So looking forward to it. State Senator Brad Hawkins of the 12th District, always a pleasure. Stay well and get some sleep, okay?
Always a pleasure to talk with you, Jason. And when we do conclude, I look forward to seeing you in the studio.